Hanging out with Andrew Salchunas. I'm Devon Givens in for Anthony and Jason here on the Midday Show. Here with you all week, in fact, on the Midday Show. Andrew and I will be the numbers 610-632-0975 dissecting last night's loss to the Boston Celtics on Christmas Day. It's good to see them out there. They are a prominent team in the NBA. They lose 121-114 on the road in Boston. Had an opportunity to win. They fell short. 121-114 in overtime. Kyrie Irving was amazing with 40 points, 23 each for Tatum and Morris. Marcus Morris has been having this great stretch for the Boston Celtics, and for the Sixers, who are now 22-13, you got 34-16 from Embiid, 10-17 from the floor, 2-4 from behind the three-point line, 12-12, perfect from the free throw line, but he did have 6 turnovers and some critical ones down the stretch for the 76ers, 24 from Jimmy Butler. So in terms of numbers, it looked good, but it wasn't enough. 15 for Wilson Chandler. He gave you 10 in the fourth quarter. J.J. Redick, 17 points on the evening, 5-16 from the floor, 4-10 from behind the three-point line, 3-5 from the free throw line, which you saw him visibly upset when he misses those free throws. He still shoots over 90%. Ben Simmons, 11, 14 boards, 8 assists, 4 turnovers, 4 of 9 from the floor overall, 3 of 7 from the free throw line in his 37 minutes and 58 seconds. The bench, not much. Landry Shamet, 5 points. TJ McConnell, 2. Mike Muscala, 1 of 9, 1 of 8 from deep, 3 points total. Furkan Korkmaz, the big three in the fourth quarter. Those were his lone points on the evening. TJ McConnell, 23 minutes and 53 seconds. A lack of depth still glaring. There are going to be those nights where you get great production from the bench. Was not that much
you can't have
yesterday.
That.
Embiid is not happy on the floor. He's talking about how he's not getting touches in the right spots. I did hear D talk about his touches on certain spots of the floor. He gets a lot of post touches. Here's one thing, too, before we get to Scott and Drew. As a basketball guy, for me, a lot of fundamental stuff comes into play when it comes to watching the game. This team is not... You have a great... the best post player in the game. You have another decent post player in Ben Simmons and another very good post player in Jimmy Butler. When those three guys have an opportunity to do work on the block. I cannot stand the fact that they cannot make a simple entry pass. You learn this early. You learn this very early. This is a problem for this team.
And how many times have you seen the lazy entry pass? Like, I don't want to just start bashing Ben Simmons, but how many times have you seen that lazy bounce pass that gets tipped and then it's turned over?
Yeah.
Happens a lot.
They have problems with the entry pass. Ben Simmons, as much as we're criticizing him, I can count from yesterday. I can't point him down because I didn't write him all out or anything. 4 times where he had his guy sealed. If he would have gotten the pass, at least he would have gotten to the free throw line. At the very least, he would have got to the free throw line. Joel Embiid, probably about 3 to 4 times where he did not get a post touch when he had the guy sealed as well. Al Horford or Daniel Tice, whatever player it was, these players have to do better. The best entry pass I saw yesterday was from Wilson Chandler, right around free throw extended. So it's a high-low situation with Embiid, who had Tice just done. He was cooked. Gave him a perfect bounce pass to basically lead him to a spin for a dunk. And Embiid was so wide open, he didn't take the initial shot. He didn't even realize he was so wide open, and then he got the dunk and everything hung on the rim and all that. But fundamental stuff like an entry pass goes a long way in these games. Recognition of a double team and a blitz coming, recognition of 3 guys around you and not taking yourself into the corner along the sideline is a problem. These are things that come into play. 610-632.
And this is what makes me hate Markelle Fultz even more.
0975, because you missed him yesterday.
Because he can get that entry pass to Ben Simmons. He can like do that high-low to Ben Simmons. How many times have you seen this year Ben Simmons? You didn't see it much as much last year, but this year you're seeing Ben Simmons get the high-low and have a hook shot in the middle of the lane.
Little jump, baby hook.
And he's made it. We're not talking jump shots. We're talking little baby hooks.
Yeah, either hand. He can do that.
But when Fultz isn't there, he's knocking the ball.
And I forgot TJ McConnell. He can entry pass because he's super fundamental.
Yeah, but you don't need 23 minutes from TJ McConnell.
No.
That's the problem.
Not yesterday. Scotty Barrington is on the Midday Show. Scotty, good morning, man.
Brother D, what's going on? Happy holidays.
Same to you, man. Thank you
so
much.
Andrew, what's happening, B?
Hello, Scott.
Good. Always good listening to you guys. Brother D, I like that commercial you had, size 9. I remembered that, so we'll come up and get you a pair of sneaks, me and my lady. But happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you, man.
No problem. Let's get down to business. I'm sorry. I'm putting the blame game on Ben. I was over at my lady's sister and brother-in-law's house.
Yep.
Her brother-in-law, her brother-in-law's dad, we was all coaching. You give the ball to Ben, they're going to back up for it. You know he's not going to shoot. The lazy layup. Number two, you know how to defend him. You just stay off of him because you know he's not going to shoot. So I'm sorry. The blame game definitely goes on Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely goes on him. You're 16. You can post up. They had him in some small, who it was exactly, but the guy was smaller than Ben. Just post him up, boop, shoot over him. He doesn't because he can't shoot.
Yeah,
so,
it was one point, if you remember when it was a rebound situation, and I saw this a couple of times, Marcus Smart starting for the Boston Celtics yesterday, and it was the one time where he shoved Ben Simmons. I thought I don't even think they gave him a tech. But anyway, no, they did. But my point was, as tough as Marcus Smart is, I'm taking my chance with Ben having him on his hip on the block. I have to take my chances, and they have to find a way to get the ball to him quicker. The same way we get frustrated, we see Embiid get frustrated when he doesn't get the ball quick enough. You have to, when a guy has a player sealed, find a way to get him the basketball quick so they can do their work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the Coach Brett Brown thing, I mean, he can only do but so much. He's not out there playing. Yeah, he could maybe draw up better stuff, but he designs the plays. It's for them to execute. He's on the sideline, so he's not out there playing.
But just because he designed it doesn't mean it's a good design.
Yeah, true. But, again, last night, you're right, Brother D. I knew you'd bet. Last night was just clearly Ben Simmons. But, fellas, all I have to say about the Sixers, thanks for taking my call. Peace. God bless everybody.
All right, man, same to you, Scott. Thanks for the call. The play design can be good. I agree with you. Sometimes the play design is not so good. He does decent, I think, with the ATOs after the timeouts. A lot of times when Covington was here, we would see the one where they would throw the alley-oop to the other side of the rim, give an opportunity to go up and do that and get a layup. We've seen Landry Shamet with it one time for Jimmy Butler so far. So from time to time, he gets them good stuff, even with the dribble handoffs. Just not at that point of the game at the end. You had a 1-4 flat, 20 seconds to go, ball in one of your best players' hands. You have a speed advantage with Marcus Morris, as good as he is at anticipating. Look, I love the Morris twins.
Marcus should
be scoring
23 points on him.
Well, he's been on a nice stretch. So I'm going to give him this one. He has the Sixers number. The Morris twins are very good. I'm not going to say that because that's wrong. And I love watching them play. I wish one of them was on a team if they had an opportunity to get them. Not the greatest defenders. Physical, yes. Side to side, they fundamentally sound good, all that stuff. Ben Simmons could have, in my opinion, taken Marcus Morris off the dribble and got a better opportunity than the dribble handoff to J.J. Redick. And I know when you were saying also, Drew, that with J.J. Redick getting that shot, it was a good look. I still don't think it was that good a look. It's going to be highly contested. It's going to be tough. But I just
it also wasn't smooth. The transition from Simmons to Redick was not smooth.
It was not.
And there was only 5 seconds left at that point, 4 seconds even. So it's not like you could readjust. At that point, you just take the shot.
Especially when J.J., knowing the time and score situation of where the game was, as we were looking at the play over and over again before we came on, that had he been able to continue to dribble, keep his dribble alive, there was a moment where Marcus Morris was trying to decide if he had to commit to help Gordon Hayward. And if Ben Simmons, which he did, is diving to the basket, J.J. could have hit him with a nice bounce pocket pass leading to the rim.
And he's not contested.
Now, what happens after that? If he gets fouled and goes to the free throw line and misses, that's totally, I don't know. But in terms of making the right basketball play, had he taken at least one more dribble, that might have been an opportunity there as well. But see, there's a lot of woulda, shoulda, couldas, but that's why we're talking about it, because it's too good. You fall in overtime, 121-114, good game, very highly contested game, very frustrating game as well.
You also mentioned plays out of timeouts for ATM. Brett Brown. He's done a decent job, right?
Yep.
Then why don't you call a timeout?
Because he already drew up the
clock. I'm okay with making the clock go down to zero. I get it. I'm okay with that. Taking the final shot, not giving Boston a chance. Design a better play.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time to actually design it. Calling a timeout. No. Celtics called a timeout with 35 seconds left. And yes, you're right. In the huddle, they probably said, all right, if they make it, if they miss, whatever, here's what we're going to do. When you have the ball in your hands, you got 18 seconds. Call the damn timeout. You got two left.
Timeout, 36 seconds. Score was 108-106. Kyrie Irving hit that tough fadeaway over Jimmy Butler in the lane to make it 108-108 with 20.9 seconds to go. That's where it went. JJ got a fadeaway jumper from 18. No dice. 610-632-0975. Dave, I see you there hanging on, man. Sit tight. Jake, Jay, Rasheem from Winfield. Of course, we love him when people call from our part of town. Keon, Bob, hang on. We'll get to you on the other side. 610-632-0975. Who's more to blame yesterday? Our options. Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving because he was just that good with 40 points, or the Sixers bench, lack of production with 13 points. Those are your options. Let us know what you think. And if it's someone else, if you feel like we're missing someone, please let us know. Andrew Salchunas, I'm Devon Givens. We're in for Anthony and Jason here on the Midday Show on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Eleven o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
That's right, 1120-97.5, the Fanatic. Devon Givens hanging out with Andrew Salchunas and you guys, 610-632-0975, as we discuss the Philadelphia 76ers. We haven't gotten much into the Eagles, and I know Dave wants to get into that as well. Big game on Sunday in Washington. Game has been flexed to a 4:25 kickoff. Chicago. Here I am. Of course, we're talking Boston and the Sixers. Chicago and Chicago as a 4:25 kick as well against the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. So we'll certainly have our eyes and plenty of time to talk about what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles and their big game on Sunday in Washington. Scoreboard watching with the Bears. Scoreboard watching with the Rams and the 49ers. Also a 4:25 kickoff as well. So a busy, busy week for us here with the Sixers, the holidays, the Eagles, everything involved. And we're doing it with you. 610-632-0975. We got to get back to the phones. Let's go to Baltimore and checking in with Dave on the Midday Show. What's going on, Dave? You're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Devon and Andrew?
How you doing, man?
Good. And Devon, I'm sorry, I went to get the sneakers, but they start in size 10. So
they start in 10? Yeah, I can do
9.5.
They didn't have any 10. Yeah, it depends. Like Kyrie Irving's, I can wear a 10.
Yeah.
Because they fit so tight, yeah.
Yeah, then they only had the 11 then.
All right, well, cool. My bad. I got to talk to my parents about that for only making me 5'6". That's their fault, not mine.
All right. First, so I got a quick Sixers point, and I want to go to the Nick Foles Carson Wentz. All right, first with the Sixers, look, I agree with you that Ben Simmons will one day hopefully be an elite player, but until you get a jump shot, you're not an elite player. I'm sorry, you're a point guard. If you can't shoot behind 10 feet, you're not an elite player. I'm sorry, you're a point guard. Learn how to shoot. It's as simple as that. I'm going to call it how it is. And that takes me straight to my Nick Foles, Carson Wentz point. Now, I've done a complete 180 on this because I was backing Carson Wentz from the beginning of the season, since last year, and I said, he's my guy. The bottom line is that this team, well, if they don't make the playoffs, it's Carson Wentz's fault. Because he had opportunities to win games this year, and he did. I'm going to call it like it is. I'm going to call him out on it, period. And the bottom line is, this team has played better with Nick Foles every single time he steps in. He threw that pick at the end of the Panthers game. He didn't beat the Titans. He lost two games to the Cowboys. And be quite frank, Devon, I'm tired of listening to excuses. He's injured. His back. I don't want to hear excuses. If you're too injured to play, get off the field. Because if this team doesn't make the playoffs, we have proven in the last 2 weeks that we were good enough to be in the playoffs. And if we don't make the playoffs, it's on him. And if he wants to come back this year and be the starter, you better get us in the playoffs, bro. You better win us a Super Bowl. Because you know what the bottom line is? We won one already with Nick. And Nick has proven that he could win the big game, and he beat two quality teams 30 points back-to-back. So I don't want to hear any excuses from the Carson people. I really don't. And if a team comes and offers us a boatload for Carson,
oh.
I'm sorry, man. I'm just going to take that deal. I'm going to absolutely take that deal. If a team comes and offers us a boatload for Carson, I will absolutely take that deal and build a team around Nick, because the bottom line is all I hear out of the Carson people is excuses. They show up and play next year, and if you're too injured, get off the field.
Well, if he's out there, Dave, thanks for the call, man. Great stuff. If he's out there, he's definitely fair game. Simple as that.
Can I respond?
Yes, you can respond.
Coming up with the Wentz excuses, as David brought up, I heard so many excuses for Foles the first 2 weeks. The Eagles went 1-1. He didn't play well in both those games, and all I heard was excuses.
He put up decent numbers against Tampa, but you could probably...
It was garbage time numbers that he put up.
Fair.
And I get it. Yes, they did not have Alshon Jeffrey, but Carson Wentz didn't have players throughout the year. I'm not trying to do a Foles-Wentz thing today. Right now, I'd rather just bash the Sixers all day. I'm kidding. I love the Sixers. But when he's trying to say the Wentz excuses, yeah, you know what? The dude was banged up. He came off of a major knee injury last year. Obviously, he's not going to be all right, not just in the knee, but also upstairs, because he's worried about, what if I get hit here? Maybe I have to roll out this way because I don't feel comfortable rolling out that way. Like, there is a lot to it. And I don't want to bash Nick Foles, but you haven't seen Nick Foles do it over a course of a year. And there have been times where Nick Foles has been the starter. Yeah, but he didn't even play the full season. You know what I mean? Like, I have never seen Nick Foles play a 16-game season effectively. And what happens if you trade Carson Wentz and next year you give the keys to Nick Foles for 16 games and they finish the year 8-8 because he can't do it over a course of a year and you just got rid of your starting franchise quarterback? Trading Ben Simmons and trading Carson Wentz, those conversations just need to end. They can't happen.
That's where they love Nate Sudfeld, the backup. Whichever way they go, whether Foles leaves or whether Wentz leaves, which again, I'm with you. I'm not moving on from Carson Wentz. The problem is if they do get into the postseason, and Dave was saying that they have to get into the postseason. If they don't, it's Carson Wentz's fault because he was out there and he didn't come through. If they get to the postseason and Nick Foles does stuff, this is going to continue through the offseason. It's not going to stop.
But is it just Carson's fault?
Well, no.
What happened to the Carolina game?
Yeah, because defense happened. The defense comes up short when they had the lead.
4th and 15 against Tennessee?
Absolutely.
That can't happen.
That's not Carson's fault.
And Carson, I'm not saying that Carson Wentz is blame-free this year. He's had some pretty, I'm not going to say bad games. You look at his numbers, he's actually had some decent games. And
he had three
interceptions of his 7 were against the Saints, where at that point he was just chucking the ball downfield because they were down 48-7. So Carson Wentz is not blame-free, but he's had a better year than what people are giving him credit for. There are two games that, if you take away the defensive mishaps, they're now, what's their record right now?
Mm-hmm.
8-7?
Mm-hmm.
So they could be 10-5? I'm just saying.
I know you're just saying. You can keep saying. A lot of people are going to keep saying. We're going to talk about it a lot through the offseason. Jay in Sicklerville is next on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Hey, so, dang, y'all twisting my mind with the Eagles and Sixers. Let me get back to what I was about to say.
Go ahead.
Last night, Blaine should go to Ben. I think he was in his own head. The two plays that stuck out to me was the layup of the backboard. You can't do that, bro. You are a paramount
three times.
Name on our team. And also, it was another play. He was on a block. And he gave it up so fast, I couldn't even tell if it was a mismatch or not. But he was on the block. He's supposed to have some offensive arsenal when he's down low. So why he was in his own head, I feel like, last night. So I feel like the blame goes to him. Secondly, you can't blame anybody that's saying that Kyrie's to blame. I don't want to hear it because Kemba put up 60. Kyrie's 40 is irrelevant to me. So I don't want to hear that. But all in all, and the other thing that frustrates me with the Sixers, they are living and dying by the three too much when they have Joel Embiid. Him included. Like, I feel like they need to get back to fundamental basketball, man.
They put up 40 yesterday, and the Celtics put up 41. Each of them shooting, Sixers shot 37.5%, 34% for the Celtics. So it was even in that category.
Right.
But you're right. In terms of post player, you do have Embiid where the Celtics do not. So I got that part.
Right, correct. You know what I'm saying? So as far as the Sixers, I mean, they just need to get back. I feel like they need to either drive more because the Celtics was driving, and when you get to the line, you get more. It's more percentage of you getting points. And then kind of switch to the Eagles real quick. I'm sorry, man. I love Carson Wentz. I'm not blaming him, but if somebody wants to give us a first, a second, and a Paramount player, let's say the Rams with Jalen Ramsey. I mean, not the Rams. The Jaguars. Or the Giants with Saquon Barkley. I'm taking that. A first, a second, and one of them Paramount players, somebody like that.
Giants.
Sorry, I love you, Carson, but I'll do it, man.
Well, the Giants not doing anything like that, Jay, in my opinion. Why would they give up their – you can argue that he's their better player, Odell Beckham. We know how good he is, but Saquon Barkley, man. But, again, to his point about Ben Simmons, he put some more on him. On the block, he had the one situation Jay talked about where he probably had a smaller defender, and we brought up Marcus Smart. We've brought up Jaylen Brown also, and even Gordon Hayward from time to time out there, that Ben Simmons has to go quicker. Maybe if he is in his own head, you can't say it's only against the Celtics. It's also against the Toronto Raptors, maybe even the Indiana Pacers, Milwaukee Bucks, where he's not getting it done against the top teams in the Eastern Conference.
Top teams in the Eastern Conference, exactly. And it's people do have a point, and I guess I need to actually look at the numbers, but how many times have you seen people tweet you, Ben plays very well against bad teams and then clams up against the best teams in the Eastern Conference, Western Conference. And maybe I'll try to do it throughout the rest of the show during breaks and stuff, try to get the splits between teams that are above 500 versus teams that are below 500.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people notice that more because they're watching those games. Maybe people who don't normally watch the Sixers 82 games a season will watch it when they play the Celtics or when they play the Raptors, and then you see Ben Simmons have a bad game, and then you forget about the 30 points that he scored a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that's what it is. Maybe it is numbers. Maybe those numbers exist. I'll look them up right now for you, Devon, all right?
All right.
I'll produce a show for you.
All right, you can do that, too, or you can host the show. It doesn't matter. I like the double-duty thing that you got going on. At Stay Off My Lawn on Twitter, right, says he has a write-in vote. Embiid kills the offense. He doesn't pass. Butler will be gone at the end of the season because he's a team player and Embiid isn't. I'm not going to say Embiid is not. He does pass. But when he gets the ball deep and sees an opportunity to go to work, he's going to go to work. He has to be better recognizing the double teams that are coming, because when the blitz comes, they might dig down a little bit when there's a certain player in the vicinity, dig down. Because I used to always say it myself, especially early with Embiid, you can time his dribbles, you can get in there again and dig down, hedge out a little bit, and just get in there and put your hand in there to try to disrupt his dribble timing, throw him off where he has to pick up the ball. Now he's trying to survey the court, half court set, and see where guys are. And if guys aren't moving because he picked up the ball, it's their fault. I'm not going to blame Embiid yesterday because he did give you 34 and 16. What I don't like is I'm saying he didn't get a lot of touches in good spots. He only shot 2 of 4 from the three-point range yesterday. He had a lot of touches on the block. And he was efficient, 10 of 17. He complains at he complains at the weirdest times. His body language is bad. Talked about this last week. Him and Ben Simmons together, their body language is just not good together. And I'm not starting anything because there's been plenty of people saying that they recognize him when they're at the games, when they're watching the games. You see high fives from this player and Ben Simmons, a high five from that player and Ben Simmons. And B, not so much. I mean, it's a minor thing, but it's a thing, probably, maybe. They go on social media and tell people how much they love each other, so maybe it's nothing. Now, they're not best friends, so we're not going to go there. But just the body language, especially when things don't go one player's way, you can see the other one reacting. At PaulNolan14 on Twitter says, having Kyrie as an option on this list is embarrassing. No, it isn't. Maybe one of the options should have been our defense or lack thereof. But that would be an option in every game. Turnovers and defense could continue to kill this team. So Kyrie Irving just being good is not an option. Sometimes great players do great things. Like Jay pointed out, even though he didn't like the Kyrie part of it, Kemba Walker has 60 on the Sixers and they won the game. The difference there is, the Boston Celtics are a better overall team than the Charlotte Hornets. So, Paul, we disagree on that one because he was that good. He made big shots for his team to come away with the win. 610-632-0975. Jake in Upper Dublin joins us next on the Midday Show. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. I see a lot of blame towards Brett Brown here, and I don't see him on the court turning the ball over 19 times. And they do this every big game when they're on national television. I don't understand what it is.
Well, I guess the point there, Jake, is can he do more to hold the guys accountable? He can be frustrated when he calls the timeouts and the theatrics and slapping the whiteboard and all of that stuff, but is he actually getting the message through to those players when these things happen, the turnovers you're talking about?
I mean, I would say half of those turnovers are of the lazy variety that Brett really doesn't have as much of a say on, whether it be a dribble handoff or, as you mentioned earlier, a pass into the post to Embiid. Like, those are practiced in practice. Like, and Brett Brown knows there are bottom five in turnovers. Like, he knows that. There's no way he's avoiding those types of stats, in my opinion.
I don't know. Yes, you're right in all those things, but I don't know that he can avoid, because sometimes, again, man, Jake, when do you pull one of the guys out, and not because it's your regular rotation to have him sit down, but you pull him out because you're so frustrated, come sit next to me, even though you're my star player.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. You could have made that argument with TJ yesterday. I just have one other point on Ben Simmons. Down the stretch, the number of times where they're in 4 or 5 point games and he goes to the line and misses two, that just kills momentum. And he has to figure that out.
That's what I said.
To be above 60%.
Hey, I need him at 70 because you're not taking jump shots. I'm sorry. I know I'm asking a lot, Jake. Thanks for the call. I need him at 70. I just do. At St. Basile 215. Let me remind you all again. Ben Simmons is about 125 games into his career. Ben created enough, and there were enough open looks that they just missed. Y'all want him to be LeBron now, and he gave us 5 laughing emojis. JJ had a clean, open look from 17 feet, and he should have made it. That's St. Basile on Twitter, at St. Basile 215. He had a look. It wasn't clean, though, Basile. And I'm not blaming JJ Redick. I'm blaming that more on the head coach, that I'm drawing up something different. I'm calling something different, not another dribble handoff that we see 45 times throughout the night. If I'm going to do anything, maybe I have Jimmy Butler come up and set that screen, or even J.J. Redick to set the screen to get a better look, not just off the dribble handoff, but off of some creation because of what the pick was able to do, that now they have to think about the ability of Ben Simmons driving to the basket for a dunk or a layup, or the ability for Ben to drive to the basket to find an open teammate, Jimmy Butler, or even Embiid diving to the basket now, or maybe J.J. Redick. JJ's look was not clean. Was it a makeable shot? Yes. You could have got a better look, in my opinion. And I know that's how Andrew feels as well. Keon in Old City joins us next on the Midday Show. Good morning, Keon.
All right, what's up, Devon?
What's up, my man?
All right. Last time I talked to you was when was after the playoffs, when they lost to Boston. So I'm going to put this out. I know from talking to you before, I think your dad was a Celtics fan, right?
Yeah, a Boston guy, yep.
Okay, so here's Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is basically a 6'10 Rajon Rondo.
I've said that before. I agree with that.
There you go. So they showed a shot chart last night during the game. Everything was in the paint, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo has a career 31 career triple-doubles at 6'1". You know what I mean? He rebounds the ball, dishes out assists, never been an outside shooter. But he has more confidence in his outside shot. We already know Ben doesn't have confidence in his shot.
Right.
But we've known that he's not an offensive player since he was in college. If you watched him at LSU, he played the same game. His first game of the first game he played for summer league, he basically didn't look to shoot. He was dishing out the ball. So this is who he is as a player.
Yes, he is. He's a pass first guy that will get his second. He's not worried about his points. Sometimes, and Keon, as you know, since we talked, and people who have not been familiar with any shows that I've done at night, I've always pointed out, and you know this, aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons.
Right.
When he has the idea of scoring, because the natural instinct of him being a pass-first type of guy, that's easy for him.
Yeah.
Now, the scoring, when he was younger and playing in those other college, high school, all that stuff, that was easy because he was better, so much better than everybody.
And so much taller.
Exactly. You got to adjust now. You have to do different things. So sometimes you do have to turn that switch on and look for yours and be selfish, because you're going to get those, you're going to have those passing opportunities because you're that good and you have so much talent around you that they're going to make those shots. From time to time, I need you to not get 16. I need you to get 26.
All right. So here's the thing. So in the recent history, we've seen players that have, you know, they were pretty good players and they've elevated their game. And, you know, they did that through hard work. So you have Paul George, who was a 10th pick. He became an all-star player. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler on his team,
James Harden, Victor Oladipo. Now, is Ben going to be able to have that type of instinct and that type of skill and drive to get to where they were able to elevate their game to become, you know, great two-way players?
It's only up to him. It's only up to him, and you hope that it's in him. Thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you. It's only up to him. If he decides that's who he's going to be, then we benefit here as fans and see what the results are. I hope that's the case. Hope so. I don't know. I hope that's the case, though. Rasheem in Winfield is next on the Fanatic. What's going on, Rasheem?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
I'm not even mad at the fact that Wilson Chandler actually was, you know,
playing well.
Playing well. Just because that's what you... If you look at that matchup, Kyrie Irving was taking Wilson Chandler. If you don't go to that matchup the whole game and make Kyrie Irving a guard, get him in foul trouble, I'm kind of confused exactly. Why don't you go in a pick and roll with Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving? So that way, it's going to be a mismatch either way. If you go Ben Simmons and Wilson Chandler, Kyrie Irving's going to have to switch on to Ben Simmons, and then he'd be more of a scorer mentality because he know Kyrie Irving is 6'3". Or if it's the other way around and if they're not going to switch and Wilson Chandler and Kyrie Irving is going to stay on Wilson Chandler, then Wilson Chandler is going to be in a post-up situation where though somebody's going to have to help out. And that's when you have J.J. Redick, you know, post up for a three. That's when you have Jimmy Butler post up for a three or a jump shot. And also confused exactly. Ben Simmons holds the ball for the fourth quarter. I understand with get the last shot, but I think it would have been better if Jimmy Butler had the ball and held the ball longer, just because you have the defenses thinking, all right, is he going to take the jump shot or is he going to drop? The Boston Celtics already knew, all right, Ben Simmons is not going to hold the ball and he's going to take the last shot. He's going to pass the ball. So there's no reason for us to play up on him.
I think that machine right there was more of Brett giving him a different look because, as you just pointed out, you expect Jimmy Butler to have the ball at the top of the key, winding down the game clock and taking that last shot. That's why I said, Sheem, if anybody was going to come up to set any kind of pick or a dribble handoff, I would have preferred for it to be Jimmy Butler, because you have that dual threat option of a three-level scorer out there to do different things, whether it be from three, drive, or mid-range, or to be able to pass to Ben Simmons or Embiid if the opportunity presented itself.
Right. And can I say one thing about the Nick Foles and Carson Wentz thing?
Yeah.
If we go back into that Tampa Bay game, Nick Foles, you know, he came down to score, which made it 21-27. So those garbage yards that your other co-host was talking about, is irrelevant. The defense was on the field for 2 minutes and 36 seconds, and the Eagles had three timeouts. You got to think about it. We had two penalties. We had the Jalen Mills defensive pass interference and the Brandon Graham offside. So Nick Foles put us in a position to get the ball back. The defense could not get off the field. And you look at it in the cases where the defense got off the field and Nick Foles got the ball back against the Texans, he came down, drove down, and got the winning field goal. So those garbage yards against the Buccaneers was non-existent. Well, if you watch the game.
We'll let Andrew figure that part out, Sheen. Thanks for the call. We got to get squeezing a quick break. John, Rob, VT, Ron, Reg, Glenn, one open phone line, 610-632-0975. A lot there for Andrew to get into and more with the Ben Simmons. The last play is really eating people alive. It is eating people up. We'll talk about it more on the other side. What's up, Drew?
By the way, I also have the splits from the top four teams in the Eastern Conference versus some of the bottom dwellers in the Eastern Conference for Ben Simmons.
All right, so you'll run those numbers out as well.
On the other side.
On the other side, 610-632-0975. It's the Midday Show. Andrew, Devon, in for Anthony and Jason here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Good morning. Devon Givens with Andrew Salchunas in for Jason and Anthony here on the Midday Show. 610-632-0975 as we talk about the Sixers' loss to the Boston Celtics yesterday evening. 5:30 tip. You heard it right here on the Fanatic. 121-114 overtime battle, and things were, it was a fun game. my opinion, it was a fun game. But we wanted to see a different result. We all wanted to see a different result. We all know that. So that's the tough part about it. And we asked the question at 975 The Fanatic on our Twitter account. Who deserves most of the blame for last night's loss to the Celtics? Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, because he was just that good, or the 13 points from your bench that you got from that group of Shamit, McConnell, Muscala, Korkmaz? Where was Amir Johnson, maybe for a couple of minutes? Where was Jonah Bolden? Got a lot of love yesterday on Twitter because he wanted him in there for Wilson Chandler, who put up 15 points, 10 in the fourth quarter. Just an interesting game yesterday. A lot of stuff to pick apart in it, in a game where you had 34 and 16 from Embiid, but he also had six turnovers. 24 from Jimmy Butler, 17 from J.J. Redick, 11, 14, and 8 assists for Ben Simmons, but it was not enough against a team that's much deeper, much more talented than the 76ers that the Boston Celtics, led by Kyrie Irving in his 40 points. 610-632-0975. So again, if you want to vote at 975 The Fanatic, who deserves most of the blame for last night's loss to the Celtics? Brett Brown, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, 13 points from your bench. And as we update that, let me see. I'm not even going to ask. You want, Andrew, you want to do that or should I do it? You know.
Go ahead.
All right.
Man, so I'm getting my splits ready for you.
Splits ready. Right now it is Brett Brown in the lead, 43%. 28% off the bench is in second. Ben Simmons, 15%. Kyrie Irving, 14%. Those are the votes right there. We have over 1,900 votes so far in the time that we've been together with you guys for the 2 hours at the start of the show, 10 o'clock. 1,900 votes. Plenty of time for you guys to get in there and cast your vote. Brett Brown, 43% right now in the lead. He deserves most of the blame. He's always going to get most of the blame.
Oh, every time they lose, he gets all the blame. And if they win, he doesn't get any credit.
Are you surprised, though, that the 28% from the bench?
I am just sort of surprised because I feel like people are giving them the benefit of the doubt, which it's not a hot take to say the Sixers bench is pretty bad. That's not a hot take. It is. They scored 13 points out of the 114 yesterday.
Well, look at the bench for the Boston Celtics. Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Daniel Tice. You can throw Daniel Tice out and just say Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier. And if you wanted to throw Marcus Morris back on the bench, that's still three men. They go eight deep. That's still better than the Sixers bench.
No, you're right. But what I'm saying is, can you blame Brett Brown for having to play T.J. McConnell 20-plus minutes a night?
No.
That's not his fault. No, it's Markelle Fultz not being around.
Not being there. I agree.
And is it Brett Brown's fault or is it Ben Simmons' fault that Furkan Korkmaz, who barely played, maybe 20 minutes total last season, is now one of the guys that you're trying to depend on to get some three-point baskets coming off the bench? That's not Brett Brown's fault. And I'm not even going to blame Elton Brand because he didn't become the GM until late in the summer.
He walked into this.
You can't blame Elton Brand, but
where you can blame Brett is him being the interim general manager in the summer.
And losing guys like Ilyasova and Bellinelli. I wasn't going to pay the amount of money that those guys got.
Zaire Smith is sitting behind the bench. You can argue the whole Mikal Bridges point, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm still annoyed with that trade. I was annoyed with the night it happened. Well, and I don't have family ties.
I didn't wear my son's hoodie today. That was Monday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good work by you.
Thank you.
You want these splits?
Yes.
These are for the people that say, look at how Ben Simmons plays against bottom dweller teams, and look at how Ben Simmons plays against the elite teams in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. I have five teams from the Eastern Conference in terms of the elite, and I added the Cavaliers because if you think about it, last year they had LeBron James. They weren't an elite team, but they were top four. So I have Raptors, Celtics, Bucks, Pacers, and Cavs. In 29 games, he averages 14.75 points per game, 3.68 turnovers a game, 7.89 assists per game, 8.69 rebounds per game, and he averages 12 field goals attempted a game. So 14, 7, and 8. Do you need more out of Ben Simmons in games like that?
Absolutely.
Now, in terms of facing teams that are the bottom dwellers, I have the Hawks, Hornets, Nets, Knicks, and I added the Wizards. Originally, I had the Magic. But remember, he left the game within 5 minutes earlier this season. So that takes away from a lot of his percentages. So I have Hawks, Hornets, Nets, Knicks, and Wizards, 29 games as well, even out. 16.5 points per game. So just below two more points per game.
That's his average, about.
3.03 turnovers a game. So
Still.
He had 3.68 against those elite teams, 3.03 against the bottom dwellers, 8.37 assists per game, so just under one more assist a game, 9.31 rebounds per game, just under one more rebound per game, and 11.72 field goals attempted, so less field goals attempted. So when people say, look at how he plays against the better teams versus the worst teams.
They're not lying.
Yeah, but it's not that much of a difference.
It's and you know what it is,
I
really?
Think it's the bigger stage that people say, wow, he didn't put up 30 against the Celtics when we needed
it. You know what it is really, though, Drew? It, as you pointed out, it's not really that much of a glaring difference. My thing for a lot of things is this. It's how it happened.
Right.
What happened. So yesterday we're talking about, before we get to John and everybody else on the phones, yesterday we're talking about his Tony Roten-like layups.
Mm-hmm.
Going so fast where now he's fading away from the basket and the ball is now either going hard off the backboard or, in Tony Roten's case, out of bounds.
Right.
But off the backboard for a layup drill, a rebound drill where you now turn and go the other way and the defense is not able to get set and on and on and on. And he did this three times yesterday where he had those types of
two in the fourth
layups,
quarter.
Tony Roten layups, and he's looking to the official to bail him out. You're good. You're really good. You're going to get calls. You're not that good. That's the Boston Celtics. You're not going to get that call, especially when you're not absorbing the contacts more and actually putting the ball up there where there's a real opportunity for it to go in. I mean, these were really Tony Roten-like layups where the ball was going off the backboard and it was a legit middle school, high school basketball
CYO, rebound
drill.
You name it.
Turn and go. Go. You know, get the rebound, outlet, fill the lane, go. That's what it was yesterday, unfortunately, for the Sixers, man. It was.
You think there's people out there that still wish Tony Roten was still on the team?
Yeah.
Every once in a while you see it on Twitter.
Because he started the trust the process thing where he said it and it became what it became. And everybody who knows me cannot stand Tony Roten. Could not stand it. Couldn't stand when people start talking all that nonsense. Yes, he had a triple-double, all that stuff. Yeah, he can do. I liked him in Washington. That was it.
Don't forget, KJ McDaniels could dunk the ball, too. So you should have kept him around.
Yeah, I guess so. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. We're talking about Tony Roten now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.